This section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount addresses a series of specific issues in the interpretation of the Mosaic Law, specifically rulings about murder, adultery, divorce, and oaths. So Jesus is here addressing the reinterpretation of the spirit of these laws and making specific judgments about liability under the law in relation to each of these specific matters of the law. The spirit of this is a spirit of pushing for spiritual discernment, for identifying what are the root spiritual causes that are of the actions that we do. So in each case, what Jesus is doing is pushing his listeners to think back to the spiritual sources of behavior. Now, the four rulings have a similar formula introduction, and there are a series of verbal threads that run through the individual sections. The overall section has the formula, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. At the end of the statements about murder and adultery, Jesus names the consequences of disobedience to the law with a kind of eschatological bent. So, you know, your accuser will hand you over to the judge to the guard, you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you'll never get out until you've paid the last penny. This is a very hyperbolic and sensational eschatological way of talking about the consequences. So also, it's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. So the first two sections end on that eschatological note. Within each of the sections, then, there are verbal threads that you can identify by simply listening and paying attention to what Jesus is saying. So in the first section, if you're angry with a brother or sister, if you insult a brother or sister, if you say you fool, so there's a parallel development in each of those if you, you will be statements. And then if you remember that your brother and sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, then be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come and offer your gift. A, B, A, B, and so on. If you simply underline and then link where those repeated words are, that plus identifying the episodic structure of the story will make it easy to remember. Now, the general principle that underlies these four rulings on matters of the law is that true obedience to the law requires observing the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law, that is, its specific action requirements. One way of understanding this principle in a rabbinic context is what was called the fence around the Torah. In order to avoid a transgression of the law, one would not only observe the letter of the law, but also the things that might lead up to a transgression of the law, so that you would not do the things that are the fence around the Torah, so that you would not violate the Torah. So in relation to observance of Sabbath law, in order to avoid a violation of the prohibition of work, one would not rub grain in your hands or perform an act of healing, which was simply a statement that involved no physical labor on Jesus' part. But those are arguments that Jesus became involved in with his opponents who were observing the fence around the Torah. In the contemporary context, in the 40s and 50s, you know, when I was growing up, parents in various ways regularly taught that the prohibition was not only against intercourse, but that there was to be no petting, there was to be no kissing, holding hands was sometimes okay, but they would identify, you know, a fence around the possible transgression of the law. So one way of understanding Jesus' rulings is that he is advocating attention to the spiritual attitude or expression that constitutes a fence around the Torah that leads then to the violation of the law. Thus, in relation to the prohibition of murder, Jesus' ruling is that anger, insult, and derision makes one liable to judgment as a violation of the law prohibiting murder. In his exposition of this, he advocates seeking reconciliation with anyone who's offended in some way against you before bringing a gift to the altar of sacrifice. In effect, Jesus advocates aggressive action, seeking reconciliation with one who has been offended by you immediately, whenever there has been a perceived offense. The effect of this practice would be to prevent the offense growing in intensity and leading to more extreme actions. Likewise, the statements about coming to terms quickly with an accuser, even on the way to court, is an admonition to seek a mediation of the dispute before you get to court. That is, do it right away. The statement of the consequences of going to court, judgment, incarceration, a life sentence in prison, exceed what would happen in any actual first century court. They do have an eschatological ring. That is, this is what will happen in relation to God. Jesus' recommendation is then to seek reconciliation aggressively with those whom you may have in some way offended or against whom you have committed some violation of the law. All of this is in your own self-interest to prevent someone becoming murderously offended at you. But the underlying principle of Jesus' two examples is to aggressively seek reconciliation. Take steps now, immediately, before you do anything else religious, if there's anybody from whom you need forgiveness and reconciliation. Go work it out now. In regard to adultery, Jesus advocates extreme actions to intercept the feelings and perceptions that are the early warning signs of imminent adultery. The first is looking at a woman, or I might add, a man, with the desire for sex. And the second is the initial touch. That's what Jesus is talking about in relation to your right eye and your right hand. This injunction is focused on looking at the body of a woman or a man as an object of desire, rather than as a full person. Jesus advocates extreme actions, plucking out your eye, cutting off your hand, as a way of preventing this possibility. In American culture, the marketing of lust has become a major industry in which the bodies of women and increasingly of men are portrayed in a manner that actively invites sex fantasies and is linked with the purchasing of specific products. While there's always been infinite imagination in human culture in relation to sexual fantasies, Jesus' teaching here is particularly difficult in the context of our highly sexualized culture. So there are ways in which, you know, what Jesus here advocates is identifying internally the identification of the feelings that would lead to adultery. The ruling in relation to divorce is a radical and highly conservative extension of the sanctions against divorce in the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law required a certificate of divorce. This was in the interest of women who had no rights and were sometimes divorced for no reason. The certificate of divorce required the man to state the reason for the divorce and gave the woman legal status that might enable her to be remarried. Jesus' sanction against marrying a divorced woman appears to be directed against the possibility that a man would be attracted to a divorced woman and divorce his wife to marry the divorced woman. Jesus' ruling seeks to nip this possibility in the bud, as he does also in relation to sexual fantasies. The prohibition against oaths is likewise an extension of the prohibition of swearing falsely, that is, of taking oaths that are not kept. Apparently, the taking of oaths by swearing by heaven or earth or Jerusalem or by one's head had become a common practice. So probably those oaths would have sounded something like, "I swear by Jerusalem that I will never da-da-da-da-da-da." So Peter's oath swearing that he did not know Jesus might have been accompanied by some such oath, you know, that he took, you know, by something. It would have been appropriate if he had in relation to this practice. The practice became a formula for hypocrisy by excessive protestations and vows that were then broken. And Jesus' teaching here is a reaction against a kind of male bravado that often leads to a kind of craziness and oaths and vows. Jesus' recommendation is a simple statement of either affirmation or negation. Now pay attention to what you really intend to do. And if so, then say yes. If not, say no. More than that has its sources in evil, because it grows out of an excessive effort to demonstrate commitment to some course of action by an excessive oath, rather than just saying what you're going to do. In all of these rulings, Jesus identifies the source of transgressions of the law in spiritual attitudes and practices that precede and cause sinful actions. The practice of the examination of conscience is an extension of this overall recognition by Jesus of the dynamics of law observance in the spiritual interior of each person. And the invitation of these sections of the Sermon on the Mount is to reflect on that, is to think about one's own self and what's going on in your mind and in your spirit, so that Jesus is steadily pushing us to think back into, you know, the interior regions of our minds and spirits.